because I am talking!
Hello. I'm the Doctor.
So, Adam, I have a chance to see a Doctor Who actor at a con that I've never seen at a con before.
Who, when, and where?
Care to make a guess? So, you kind of know the people I've seen, right? Generally,
yes. You've
seen
yes. Generally speaking.
Generally speaking. So, I'll give you a couple hints. It's from a person from the modern series.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to tell you. I've never seen him at a con before. They're presenting. It's going to be at Dragon Con, if that gives you any kind of a hint. Dragon Con is this week. It's actually in a couple days. Actually, tomorrow technically starts Dragon Con, but I'm not going to go until Saturday.
Snap. So it's Dragon Con. It's not New York.
No, I will be at New York Comic Con, but this specific actor / actress is going to be at Dragon Con. And I've never seen them in person before.
Okay. Are we going the 20 questions route, or are you just expecting like a cold guess on my part?
I think you should be able to guess, because there's not too many people that it could be that I haven't seen yet. And it's a main actor. Not just showed up one episode. Like, it's one of the main actors.
Oh, dang. Seriously. Just a guess based on what is happening. I'm going to say Karen Gillan.
No, I've seen Karen.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I've seen her and Matt Smith together.
Ah.
Yeah. I did see her at Dragon Con, though.
See, I thought like, I know it's not Matt Smith. You've seen him.
Yeah, I've seen Matt Smith. I've seen David Tennant, Alex Kingston. I've seen Arthur Darvill. I've seen Mickey.
Yeah.
So what? Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's a companion. One of the main companions.
Is it Clara?
It's not Clara.
Okay, you just have to give it to me because I'm going to end up like
Donna.
Son of a fool.
It's Donna.
Are you?
Yes. Catherine Tate.
Nice.
Yes. Catherine Tate is going to be at Dragon Con, so I'm going to try to. She's doing like these one. Like, she's not teaming up with other people in the panels. Like, she's doing her own kind of thing. So.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just covering her entire career, not necessarily just Doctor Who.
I was going to say, is it Doctor Who specific?
I mean, I would assume with the audience that's going to be at Dragon Con, it's going to probably veer toward Doctor Who more than anything else, but we'll see.
Well, that should be fun.
It's interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And then New York Comic Con's coming up too, which did you see the news about that big panel they're going to be doing where it's going to be Matt Smith, David Tennant, and Alex Kingston together?
I did see that, and I am crushed, to be totally honest, because there was a slight possibility when I was talking to certain people within my household, and I said, this is what's happening, and they said, you should go, and then I told them the date, and it was like, oh, you can't do that. I was like, I know. So I am crushed, but that sounds like it would be so much fun to have the three of them together and sit in on a panel for that. That'd be pretty darn incredible.
Yeah, that's a panel that would be really exciting to see. I don't know if I'll attend it just because of the price. The tickets are like $103 or the cheapest tickets.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because the last time I went to New York Comic Con and I did attend the big Doctor Who panel, which was kind of as Capaldi's era was wrapping up. So it was Capaldi, and I believe Pearl Mackey was there as well, with Moffat.
Yeah, you got some video from that, didn't you?
Yeah, and I went to that panel, and it wasn't packed. It wasn't like you had to wait. I mean, there was a line, but it wasn't like the whole thing was packed. It wasn't like they capped it off and people didn't get in. Like, everybody that wanted to get in got in, and there wasn't like a huge demand. But now they're doing this other big Doctor Who panel, but they're charging. I'm like, oh man, are people going to pay $103 minimum? I mean, some of the tickets are like up to $150 to see. Now, this is a little bit different because it's Matt Smith and David Tennant, which is probably a bigger draw than Capaldi. But
and both of them have fairly current work going on right now, which is another draw to it.
True. And Matt Smith, now having been cast in the new Star Wars movie, that's going to You know, and he just finished up The Crown, which is, he did, I think, 2 seasons of that, which was really popular. So he's kind of been in the spotlight for a little while now.
Yeah, and Tenet has Broadchurch, and he has Jessica Jones, and he has the new Bad Samaritan, or is it Good Samaritan? Whichever one it is, he is freaky looking in that.
Yeah, I saw that trailer. It was interesting.
Yeah, but he's that. Yeah.
True. So I think it'll be a bigger draw, but that price point's just a bit ridiculous. I think also considering that you already have to pay a significant amount of money just to get into the con, and then to charge more on top of that is interesting. But
yeah, and now that you mentioned that, I had no idea it was a separate charge. So it's probably good that I didn't know that, or it would have definitely been a hard no right from the very get-go.
I'm still a little tempted just because it's like, when, how many opportunities are you going to get to see those guys together in a panel? But we'll see.
Yeah,
that's the latest con news. But we haven't podcasted in a long time, kind of summer vacation, quote unquote. And Doctor Who's coming soon. We don't know exactly when the date is, although there's been some rumors swirling. But there's a lot of news for us to catch up on. We haven't even talked, you and I haven't talked about Doctor Who, at least not on a podcast, since San Diego Comic-Con, which was kind of the big news drop. We had done our episode right before that where we decided to talk about the leaked clip, which we kind of were wrong about. They did not release it yet.
I know, right? We were so, I mean, hey, good on them. And that's one of those things that comes up in the panel, even just the idea of leaks and or the San Diego Comic-Con panel that they did, the leaks that took place and kind of their approach to spoilers. So yeah, shame on us. Shame on us, and we were totally off base.
Shame on us indeed, although we got a lot of downloads on that episode. but yeah, I did kind of feel, because I really did. I honestly, when I said that I felt like we would be covering it and they would be releasing it by the time San Diego Comic-Con came around anyways, so I didn't feel bad about talking about it. I really believed that, and we were so wrong, or at least I was wrong, that they did release some stuff. They did release a trailer, but they did not release this specific clip that we saw, so it was definitely a leak. But we can talk now about what we did see from San Diego Comic-Con. We got a whole big panel with the main cast, most of the main cast. Also, Chibnall was there. And we got a full trailer, so we can kind of talk about the different things that we saw there.
Yeah, I'm up for just jumping into that. We can hit the ground running there.
Sweet. So what do you want to talk about first, trailer or panel?
Let's do the panel first. We can hit the trailer on the last thing.
So the panel, we got basically the main cast. So we got Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor, obviously. We got her two companions. Two of her companions were there. So Tosin Cole was there, and Mandeep Gill was there, right?
Yes, and they were missing Bradley Walsh.
And Bradley Walsh was not there, although he did dial in on a call. And then Chibnall was there as well. One other person was there. Chibnall was there with another, you know, producer type, and I'm forgetting the guy's name. It almost seemed like they were kind of like a team. So I guess maybe they're kind of creatively a bit of a team on the show, but I'm forgetting the guy's name. So we'll look that up. But, what were kind of like your first impressions? I mean, we've got to see a lot of Jodie Whittaker, but we have not seen a lot of the other actors, you know, kind of interviews and stuff like that. So this was kind of the first long form, you know, interview that we've gotten with these actors. What were your first impressions?
Yeah, and jumping back to Jodie Whittaker really quick, like, we have seen a lot of her, but I don't feel like we've seen a lot of her in this context where she was just able to kind of like talk and interact and, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, be herself. And it was entertaining. She is a fun person. I know that everybody just wants to draw comparisons between personalities and is she going to be more like this individual or that individual or what have you? And we can talk about that all day long until the series actually airs. But she is I think that unnamed individual that you mentioned who was with Chibnall, he referred to her as effervescent. And I mean, that's a great way to refer to her. She's just out there. She's out there. And then as for the others on the panel, like Tosin Cole, it was really cool to see him jump in. He was a interesting individual on the panel. He kind of caught me off guard at times. Like he always looked a little bit confused, off kilter as to what was really going on. He would always furrow his eyebrows like something was weird being said. But he really cracked jokes. And honestly, like he says he loves his job. He was funny at times. It was good. Mandip Gill, she seemed extremely excited about what was going on. And really grateful to be part of Doctor Who in the series going forward and being a part of the greater Whovian fandom, I guess, moving forward. I don't like, I'm after watching the panel, after kind of hearing them talk and interact, and even Chibnall being a part of the discussion, I think if you walked away from watching the panel with anything less than excitement, something's wrong with you. Like there was so much about just the way that they interacted and the way that they talked about the show and the way that they talked about the series moving forward, that there's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah. The cast is definitely excited about the show. I think you get a sense from Jodie Whittaker that she is the biggest personality on this cast.
Oh, by far.
By far.
Well, of those that were there, like they made it sound like Bradley Walsh might like surpass all of them. They referred to him as a big kid, or did they refer to him as a toddler? They made it sound like he was just very, very out there, very much pulling practical pranks and just having a huge time on set the entire time.
Yeah, definitely. I think from a kind of goofball standpoint, he you know, if you're using the terminology big personality, he does fit that. But I kind of was more referring to just that take charge. Like this, Jodie Whittaker is definitely the leader of that pack. You know, they were all looking to her. You know, she was kind of even talking over people or kind of answering questions for the other people if they hesitated at all. You know, that type of thing where she has taken over that kind of leadership role.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just in character, but even just in who she is and her personality. It just kind of exudes from her that she's a leader.
There's no doubt whose show it is at this point. Like Chibnall might be writing it, but it is Whittaker's show moving forward. Like you're absolutely right. She was in charge the entire time, or at least she was head of the pack the entire time in the conversation.
Super confident. You can tell why she got the role. Like you can definitely tell. And it's interesting because I've seen her in Broadchurch and she doesn't play a character that's really like that. She plays a very strong character, but she plays a very, you know, broken character as well because of events that have happened to her. So you don't see kind of that side of her really, and I haven't seen her in a lot of interviews, so I was kind of surprised by her big personality, but I liked it. And Chibnall surprised me too, because I think I'm used to Moffat, and Moffat kind of has that, you know, cool guy, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do what I want personality, and Chibnall does not at all.
Nope, he doesn't.
He's like that friend that wants to make everybody happy, you know, like
yeah,
big smiles, and he's on everybody's team, and it's all positivity, which I guess is a good thing, but it's interesting. It's going to be a whole different dynamic, I think, with the creation of these episodes, because it's just such a different personality.
And it's different than what I expected from him, like solely based on him being the individual that put together Broadchurch and just the topic of what Broadchurch is and the story of Broadchurch. It's not this like light, airy, happy, feel good storyline. And so I kind of figured Chibnall would be like this dark, brooding individual. And then all the secrecy surrounding series 11. And I thought, okay, he's just going to be like this really like hold things close to your vest. Until he started talking on the panel, and he's like you said, he's like your best friend. He wants to be your best friend. At one point, he said that they were secretly, or they were quietly crying in the corner. And he's just, the way that he was describing different experiences of being on set or different experiences with the different cast members, he definitely isn't Moffat-esque in that respect. And he definitely isn't the type of individual that I thought he was based on what I thought he was of the things that he's done, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. He's like emotionally vulnerable and friendly and bubbly even. And it's almost like he's that side of the Doctor. And Moffat was kind of the darker side of the Doctor, the more mysterious and like mischievous side of the Doctor.
Which is crazy to me, considering like everything that we're hearing coming out of series 11. Like, it's supposed to be this dark like series, and like there's going to be new monsters and like crazy stuff going on. And then you watch him on the panel and he's just this goofy, like you said, bubbly, happy, vulnerable individual. And it's like, wait a second, this is supposed to be like a dark show. He must have this dark side of him that comes out when he starts to write.
Hey, sometimes it's the nicest ones that do. That could just be his personality. But yeah, as a writer, as a showrunner, you know, he obviously, like you said, he ran Broadchurch, and that show, although that show was lighthearted at times and had a lot of humor, definitely delved into some very dark subjects, and he can definitely go there. So it's gonna be interesting, because like you said, we've heard some things about the season. It's gonna be dark and stuff, but then on this panel, when they were asked to describe kind of the Doctor and the Doctor's personality, it was all very like humorous and bubbly and that kind of stuff. There was not a lot of talk of darkness, at least on this panel. Well, we've heard it in other interviews since from writers, but we haven't in this panel specifically. It seemed almost like this is gonna be a really fun show.
Right. And the one thing I would say about that is that one of the main ways they describe the Doctor is being like this pillar of hope. And hope never looks as hopeful when it's cast against a sunny background. But when you cast hope against this dark, dreary, scary background, then hope looks even more hopeful. So maybe they are painting that dark picture to then draw out those aspects of hopefulness of the Doctor. That's the only way I can reconcile it in my mind, because like you said, the panel, it seems like everything is just going to be rainbows and kittens and unicorns the entire series, but that's not quite what we're hearing since the panel.
Yeah. So my impressions of the other two companions that were there, at least, Tosin got on my nerves right away. Like, his personality kind of, it was almost like he didn't want to be there.
And like, I didn't go there because I knew you would, so I took the high road.
Like, I've been to enough, I go to a lot of cons, you know, I go to a lot of these panels. I get that some of these actors, you know, they'd rather not be there. They, you know, they kind of have to do it. They need to promote the shows. And there's different types of actors that will either bring their A game and really interact with the crowd and give really good answers and enjoy it. And I've seen some of these actors that they do it over and over and over again. And then you have people that just, you can tell they're just like, they're there because they have to be. They give really not thought out answers. They half the time aren't even listening to the questions. And that's how he came across to me. And just as somebody that goes to a lot of conventions, that kind of irks me. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you're representing the show, like, show a little bit of enthusiasm. And even there was a point where like somebody asked him something and you could tell he didn't really listen to the question. So somebody else kind of answered the question for him, you know? Yeah. So that was kind of annoying to me. I don't know if that's going to carry over into the character at all. Like, the clip that we did see him act in and the stuff that we've seen in the trailers, everything looks fine. He looks like he's going to be an interesting character, but, him as an actor, it's kind of like, I'm not a huge fan. Not at least based on that one panel, you know, that could obviously change. But I mean, like, just as something to contrast it with, is the first time I saw Pearl Mackey at a convention panel, I loved her. But I never really loved her character, but I loved her as an actress, because she just she was fun, you know, she like really got into it and like really answered the questions well, and you know, you could tell she was really enjoying it. So let's just say if I had the option between going to a Pearl Mackey panel or a Tosin Cole panel, I know which line I'm waiting in.
Nice. I mean, you're not wrong. He definitely looked perturbed. He went on this huge long story about how he had to sit with a forkful of eggs for 7 hours, and he kind of belabored the point of how terrible that was just for the teaser. So yeah, it was he was an interesting individual on the panel.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing that he there was something else. Oh yeah, he basically told somebody some spoilers that he wasn't supposed to tell or whatever. Like he didn't even.
Yeah, he revealed that he was in Doctor Who when no one else was supposed to know anything, and he was just kind of like, "Oh yeah."
Oh yeah, I just told everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
And he also is the one that like was off work. According to him, he was on a break or something the week that all the leaks came out, and then he came back to work and it took him like 2 weeks to realize anything was leaked, and he was like, "Hey guys, everything's leaked," and they're like, "Yeah, you're like a week or 2 weeks late on that." So he might not be the most engaged individual or listen all that carefully, just to be honest. But
well, let's hope his character's cool, or he's, you know, he does well in the role. I mean, there's definitely like Harrison Ford's another one that he plays a great character. You know, he's Han Solo, he's Indiana Jones, but if you've ever seen him in an interview, he's just like the worst person ever. So
well, yeah. And I'll say this about Tosin is that it seemed like he got along with everybody else pretty well. Like they had inside jokes. He was ribbing Whitaker was ribbing him. Like it was kind of going back and forth. So maybe there is good chemistry, and he
could have just been tired.
It's his first panel, it sounded like. I don't think he'd ever done anything like it before, but no, you're not wrong. He definitely, there were some things that rubbed me the wrong way, just the way that he was approaching things.
I mean, I saw Billy Piper on a panel once where she was very much similar to the way Tosin Cole was here, and I still love her character. So it doesn't necessarily translate over to if I'm going to like the character or not, but at least from what I've seen of him so far, I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll see. But Mandeep Gill, I really liked her. She seemed really engaged with the fans and very excited about the show. Had a lot of good answers, a lot of cool things to say. So I liked her personality. So I think I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like her character.
Yeah. Yep. Anything that came out of the panel that you were surprised that they mentioned, or anything that kind of perked your ears?
A lot of the descriptions of the Doctor were, they kind of fit what my expectations were. Her personality, just from what we've seen in the little, you know, the trailers and the little teaser trailer and then the full trailer, you know.
And the leaked scenes.
And the leaked clip, yeah. We don't talk about that anymore.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So, yeah, like a lot of the ways they were describing her as kind of fun, you know, that type of personality, bubbly, I think was a word that kept popping up.
Yep.
So I think that was actually kind of expected. And then the other thing that surprised me was the mention of kind of the villains. And they were saying, you know, they actually haven't filmed any episodes yet. Now, at the time of this recording, of them recording this panel, there were only, I think they said like 2 or 3 episodes left to film. And up until that point, they had not had any classic villains in the show.
Yeah.
So that was surprising, just because that's always been a staple of Doctor Who, you know, within the first few episodes, if not the first episode, it's always the Daleks or the Cybermen or something that's kind of like a big classic villain. And if they did a whole season without them, that's a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, Even the Zygons started making a comeback towards the last 2 seasons of Moffat's run. We had a classic pulled back up in one form or another at some point in time throughout all the series of Moffat. So, yeah, that is kind of surprising. I don't know if I'm necessarily bummed by that. or if I'm just excited to see what they do, because they definitely sound like they have villains slash monsters slash aliens slash something going on. So I'm interested to see what they come up with.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily opposed. I mean, I've said it many times on our podcast that I'm not a huge fan of the Daleks. I think they overuse the Daleks. So I wouldn't mind a whole season without Daleks. Cybermen, same. Like, I feel like some of my favorite villains or things that they've done with kind of the foil that the Doctor has to go against is when it's not classic villains. They lean on that crutch sometimes too much. So I would be fine with it. Now, would I want Chibnall's entire run or Jodie Whittaker's entire run on Doctor Who to never have a classic villain? No, because I think they should tie it in. You know, I would love to see, you know, some version of the classic villains, maybe even a version of the Master comes back. You know, that type of thing would be cool. But maybe the first season doesn't have any of that, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, Chibnall refused to comment on any future seasons at this point, which makes total sense. I mean, come on, they hadn't even finished the first one yet. But yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I think this could be a big season for Doctor Who. You know, there's a lot of buzz around it, you know, with the new showrunner and with Jodie Whittaker now as the Doctor. I think that it's kind of piqued an interest in some fans that either had kind of gone away from the show or people that had never watched the show. So I've actually seen, you know, more interest in friends of mine that hadn't been interested before just based on that stuff. So this could be kind of a bit of a revival. Not that Doctor Who needed a big revival, but I know that there had been some, you know, talk of like lower ratings and, you know, certain fans kind of getting tired of the show. So this could be a bounce back in a way. And then if it does well enough, then you can expect that Jodie Whittaker is not going to just be a one season Doctor, or Chibnall is not going to be a one season showrunner. You know, they'll probably stick around for two or three seasons.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing that Chibnall called out on the panel, and I think he's absolutely right, especially with the things that have come out in regards to the series that's coming up, is that this is a perfect jumping on place, perfect introduction or reintroduction to the Doctor, because there's not going to be all these classic villains that you're going to be like, oh, where did these first come up? Or, oh, these came up before and here's all their backstory. It sounds like it's a fairly fresh start. It's going to be all new storylines. It's going to be somewhat independent stories moving forward. So yeah, from what he said, this is a great place to start introducing friends and family and relatives to Doctor Who and kind of grow the fandom even more through this coming series. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. I'm not interested to see what happens. I'm excited for things to get moving again. Watching that panel definitely got me geared up for, okay, how much longer do we have to wait for this? How much longer before this comes back?
Right.
A few things that stuck out to me on the panel that I thought were interesting was, one, Gil dropped that her character's only like 18, 19? It was fairly young, and Capaldi made it sound like no one was supposed to, or not Capaldi, Chibnall made it sound like no one was supposed to know that just yet. But fairly young companion. Another thing that stuck out to me is when they were talking about the sonic screwdriver, and we haven't even talked about the new design yet, but they mentioned that it was a combination of a bunch of different things, and the story behind how it comes into being is going to be pretty interesting. I'm wondering if that means that the TARDIS doesn't make the sonic. And then Jodie flat out said that the TARDIS rejected her. Which I know might have been obvious, and we kind of joked about the TARDIS rejecting her, but even Jodie said that the TARDIS rejected her in the end of Twice Upon a Time. So I thought those three things were pretty interesting just to have come up on the panel.
Yeah, and the Sonic, we had talked about the Sonic in our last episode, but at that point it had just been leaked images. So now it's officially released. I think you can already buy her Sonic.
Yeah, I was convinced that it wasn't really the Sonic. So to me, now that it's official, I can say that it's really the Sonic. And I think we expressed our opinions on how it looks.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of forget what you said. Were you a fan of it? Did you like it?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I wasn't convinced it was a Sonic. And it looks like an ant. I don't know. It looks like some insectoid body.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. I think it looks a little too odd. I wish it was kind of more the traditional, you know, looks like a scientific instrument as opposed to something that was more organic. But yeah, I don't know. He did say that something about her finding it in an interesting way. So, and we had seen the leaked images kind of that would indicate, you know, kind of that too. So I don't know. Yep. Not that it was like super spoilery, but it did look like she was in some sort of cave or something.
Yeah. To me, it looked like some sort of dig.
And there was a scene in the trailer where she's very much, it seems like she's in the same place where she, it's actually, I think the very last scene in the trailer where she pulls that kind of plastic, you know, curtain
well,
aside.
Well, this will be fun.
This is going to be fun. And I love her. Like, I don't already. Like, I don't know. Maybe the season will start and I'll change my mind. But, man, she just has, like, this way about her. Like, it's, every time she talks in these trailers, like, it just makes me smile. I don't know.
Honestly, it seemed like that is exactly who she was on the panel, too. Like, I don't think there is any separation between Whitaker as herself and Whitaker as the doctor. Like, I think they are identical. I think they are the same person.
I think she has a chance to play, right, I do, because I think she has a chance to play a character that is closer to her personality type than maybe other characters she's played in the past. So, yeah, I would agree. In Broadchurch, the actor and the character are very different. In this, from what we've seen so far, she seems very similar to the way she's playing the doctor. In how she really is. And I'm trying to think if there's any of the doctors that aren't that way, because it seems like every doctor that we've had, at least in the modern series, they play very close to how the actor acts.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty true.
There's not one that's like more method. Maybe I would say Eccleston would be the closest, just because from what I've seen, him as an actor and interviews and stuff, he's very serious.
Yeah.
And in Doctor Who, he had a lot of those moments where he kind of had big outbursts and big smile on his face and kind of he played a little goofy every once in a while, which I don't know if Christopher Eccleston ever does that in his real life. He seems a little bit more kind of straight-edged, but
Eccleston was the doctor that didn't dance. Yeah. That's when the doctor dances, that's Eccleston acting, not actually being Eccleston.
Yes, but Tennant and Smith very much. And Capaldi, even, you know, they all very kind of played the same, you know, person that you see in the interviews and stuff. I was trying to find that kind of what the rumored release date was. I thought I had seen something come across where somebody had taken a picture of, I don't know if it was like a TV guide or some sort of a TV schedule that had listed a date for the first episode, that at least for BBC One, where it would air, and I believe it was like September 23rd. What day of the week does that fall on?
September 23rd would be Sunday. A Sunday, which is exactly the day that it was supposed to be.
Okay, yeah. So I had seen that floating around, and that kind of makes sense. I mean, I thought the other thing I had been seeing was people were saying that, oh no, it's still going to be in October. But I would assume that the release date for BBC One would be the same for BBC America. That's usually how they've been doing it for a while now.
So what that would mean is that we're less than a month away from Doctor Who being back.
Yeah, that'll come fast. So, and then it's a 10-episode season.
Oh yeah, that came up quite a few times. I don't know if that they were all trying to reiterate that over and over again, but they mentioned quite a few times, 10 episodes, 10 episodes, 10 episodes. I don't think I've ever heard people say so many times how many episodes the series was going to be.
So if it, I think it that would take us to, I'm trying to count down how many Sundays 10 episodes would be, or what date that would take us to. And it looks like November 2nd, if my math is correct. If September 23rd was the true air date for the first episode.
Huh.
So that would be interesting to see if they would have some sort of break in there that would lead them up to Christmas and then do a Christmas special. Would they just run it all the way to just November 2nd and then have a month off and then do, or no, that would be almost 2 months off and then do the Christmas special. But that would probably mean there would be, the season either leads right up to the Christmas special or the a break Christmas special, and then there's going to be another probably really big break until the second season.
Yeah,
If
man.
that release date's accurate. So that'll be
And don't talk about the break until the second season, Aaron. I hadn't thought of that yet. Don't destroy me like this. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait again.
it sounds like we're getting longer episodes, right?
Slightly longer
Slightly
episodes if
longer,
rumors hold true.
and it's 10 episode season, so it should be, nice and condensed, and every episode should be good because they're not gonna have to have any filler episodes, right? Like
Oh,
that's all of our hopes and dreams.
that is what I'm curious about. If the typical pattern for a Moffat series holds true, if we can get three decent to high and then take two nosedives and then go back to decent to high. Like I'm wondering if we're going to have the same peaks and valleys that we're used
Peaks and valleys, or the 50-50 kind of, like, I know we had done a lot of talk
to.
on like how many episodes fall above the line and below the line for you, and it usually came out to, there was a decent number of episodes that we were kind of meh or less on, and then there was, about half the season we really liked. So if you only
You
have
know
10
what's
episodes, you kind of hope that they could figure out a way to get more than half above that line.
You know what's going to be pretty interesting to see is if the whole like what was it the three templates of Doctor Who holds true with Chibnall writing, where it's like you lose the TARDIS. What now I'm struggling to think of what the three that we
This
talked about are, but
TARDIS lands on a space station or underwater facility. They get separated from the TARDIS and they have to save the crew that is part of that facility.
yeah.
There's, each season, I think we had joked about, how many episodes per season follows that kind of formula, and it's a lot. Especially in the Capaldi era, I felt like they really leaned heavy into that. So, that's definitely one of the, right?
Yeah, no,
And
that's
then
definitely one of them.
obviously you got to go back in time. The trailer did show us at least one scene where it looks like they're in the 1940s, I would guess, based on the cars that are around. And it also looks like it's in the US in the 1940s.
I'm trying to think
So
because we do have the Rosa Parks rumored episode for Doctor Who, which would be US and would be in the early 1900s.
what was her era? What was kind of her lifespan?
19 she was 1913 to 2005. Really?
Okay, so 1913. If this episode is in the 1950s, then that would put her
Nine,
in
it
her.
would be 1955 would be about the time. Yeah, December 1st, 1955.
Okay, makes sense. I was kind of
Wow, look at
judging.
you.
I was going by because I'm a bit of a Jeep enthusiast, so there was a Jeep in one of the shots. Like that was, it looked like
Seriously?
a Willys, like old style Willys Jeep from like the post World War era, where they, used them. They started to produce these Jeeps for, for the general consumer, and that was in kind of the late 40s, early 50s. So.
How did I not know this about you, Aaron? That you spot the year by a Jeep.
So yeah, that was so that's probably, yeah, I think putting the pieces together on that one, if there is going to be, and the Rosa Parks things has always been just a rumor, right? There's never been an official kind of announcement, right?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain it has only ever been a rumor. A rumor.
Yeah, so we got, what are some other things that popped up in the trailer? We saw that, we saw they were definitely on an alien planet at some point because the sky was a different color. They were climbing up some sort of hill on an alien planet. I really like the doctor's dialogue in the trailer. You know, what did she say? Something like, you know, this is all new to me and I need, yep. you know, will you
new
be my
face,
friend?
New friends. Yeah.
I loved it. Like, she just had a really cool, you know, that's some good writing, and hopefully that's Chibnall, you know, so we're seeing some of his touch, because I really like the writing for that. And then, you know, kind of it ends with her pulling back that curtain. She's like, this is going to be fun, you know?
Yep.
In her really heavy accent. Like, it was cool. Like, I really, like, I was excited after that trailer ended. I was like, oh, okay, that's everything I saw in that trailer. I was cool with, you know, there wasn't anything that stuck out to me that I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like that.
Yeah, they did a really good job putting it together. And that monologue throughout the trailer, the voiceover, that is exactly what excites me about Doctor Who, because it was spot on. Like you said, like, I really hope that is just an ounce of what we can expect from the writing come into series 11.
Yeah. And we do have some information about the writers, some of the writers, right? Chibnall, I think, released a list of a number of writers that were going to be writing Doctor Who. And for me, as an American television viewer, and none of them really stuck out to me. And I think a lot of them are kind of newer writers, and they've written for, you know, projects in the UK that I wasn't super familiar with. So there wasn't anything that popped out that I was like, oh, wow, like, that person's writing. But Mark Gatiss wasn't on there.
Nice.
Did you have to unmute to laugh?
I did.
I was trying to get that, like, unexpected laugh, and then you were muted.
Yeah, I was muted, and then I laughed while I was muted, and I thought, oh, shoot, I'm muted. Let me unmute, and then I'll laugh again. So that was my double laugh. You're right. Like, I'm kind of bummed, and maybe that's why they released it, because they're like, half the fandom won't know what any of these writers are, and they won't necessarily get any clues to what the season might hold from it. But yeah, they did release the writers. It looks like it's a fairly good mix.
Yeah, I know it's diverse. There's a number of women that are writing episodes. I know a lot of people had commented on how happy, you know, they were happy that it was a diverse group of writers. You know, you're going to get different voices, different experiences, and that's always a good thing in television writing. So yeah, I don't have a big impression just because I don't know who any of them are, but I did notice who wasn't on the list, which, you know, you kind of have that staple of writers that have been writing for Doctor Who, and some of the names that pop up, none of them, you know, are on this list. So it's definitely all new actors, all new showrunner, all new writers. It's going to be definitely the definition of new Who. You know, we always use that terminology, new Who. We're having more. This is newer Who.
Yeah, that's maybe we need to find a new way of classifying it. Like, I don't know, is that good or bad to kind of make a grand split in series 11? It seems like the show itself is making a grand split in series 11, but newer Who, new to Who? Like, is there another way that
the Chibnall era? Like, that's kind of how, you know, us as fans have kind of referred to even the new era of Doctor Who, or new Who. It kind of is broken down by who the showrunner was.
Yeah.
At the time, Davies had his style. And then when Moffat took over, it was a complete revamp. You know, like, when you watch The 11th Hour, it's like you're watching a whole new show. It doesn't look or feel at all like what you were getting with Davies. And so I think we're going to have kind of a similar experience, you know. And I wonder if they'll kind of use this first season to really establish the newness of it. But then maybe in season two, we'll start to see some connections. You know, they'll start to bring in some of those classic villains. Maybe they'll even bring in some, you know, previous actors to make some connections. You know, you get there's always the possibility of Jack Harkness coming back. Who knows? you know, River's always out there.
His name is always on the table.
Yeah, I don't doubt that he would come back if asked. You know, you never know. Because I was surprised by some of the people that showed up. I never thought we'd see Rose Tyler again, and she showed up in the 50th anniversary. You know, so there's always a possibility they'll dip back into some of these older actors. And then you're going to have the big event stuff, you know, Christmas specials. You know, we had a 12th Doctor, First Doctor crossover, so, you know, maybe the next Christmas special, they do something similar. They pull in an old Doctor or something. So there's always, there's so much potential for future storytelling, but I think that first season, they're going to really want to establish, this is new, this is different. We're not going to lean on some of these things that people may expect us to lean on.
Yeah, it's new. I'm just looking through the list of writers and directors, and one name that is missing from directors, which I'm honestly somewhat surprised about, is that Rachel Talalay isn't listed there. That's slightly sad to me.
Yeah, I mean, she was a Moffat director. And she,
was a Moffat director, but she was also responsible for a lot of directing a lot of some of the best episodes for Capaldi.
Get ready for change.
Yeah.
And hopefully less than a month.
We have one director who has directed the full season of The Five, Impulse, Lucifer, Gotham, Black Lightning. So.
Oh, okay.
And Jennifer Lawrence's House at the End of the Street, which.
Not that any of those titles get me excited.
Gotham has a very interesting style to it.
Really? So to be fair, I haven't seen a lot of what you just said, but there's, you know, just based on trailers and stuff I've heard about those shows, they've never interested me. But I used to be a big watcher of things like Smallville back in the day. And I kind of got tired of the whole like network, especially like the CW.
Yeah.
You know, superhero shows. And so I kind of, you know, when Gotham came out, I was like, it just feels like another kind of Smallville. And so I just never got around to watching it. Like, I don't watch Flash. I don't watch, you know, any of those other shows. Now, the Marvel kind of Netflix superhero shows, I have delved into a little bit just because they seem a little bit more movie quality.
Yeah.
But anything on the network stuff, I tend to shy away from.
Understood. Yeah. Each their own. And CW has definitely got its own flavor.
Definitely. So I don't. So is there anything else like in the trailer, teaser, in the panel, anything news related that's popped out lately? Like anything else we haven't talked about that you feel like is worth talking about?
I mean, everything from the panel, everything from the teaser, everything from the trailer. I mean, it's all solid stuff.
And I know they have officially finished filming. So they have announced that filming is done. So season one is in the books. I'm assuming that doesn't mean the Christmas special as well, but maybe it does. Who knows? But
I don't think it does because they are drawing that strict line of series 11 is 10 episodes. That doesn't include the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Christmas special is a standalone by itself, not included.
Yeah, and then just other images have kind of been popping up. Like I know the Doctor has shown up now in alternate clothing. So we have the standard clothes that we've seen her in on most of the promotional material, but there has been a few images that have shown up where she's in kind of like a reverse colored sweater or shirt or blouse, whatever, where it's not that kind of dark blue. It's like a maroon. Have you seen that? Okay.
Yep.
So cosplayers, be aware. There's alternate versions.
you thought you had it easy, but just you wait.
Yeah, she's got some, like, I like the outfit. I know we had talked about the outfit when it first was officially revealed, and it was, you know, we had talked about it, and I was kind of saying, it looks a little more whimsical than I expected, different than I expected. But I do feel like now that I've seen more of the Doctor and kind of seen her personality, it fits her personality very well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to say. It does fit the character. They do a really good job with that. That's Capaldi. I know, like, even with Capaldi, we made fun of his, like, Starry Night, or his star sweater and his scruffy appearance, and he just looked odd at times in promo pics. But there was never a time in an episode that it was like, this just doesn't quite match up. I mean, his costume, his outfit, everything matched his character. And yeah, it's the same with Whitaker. Everything that we've seen, it just kind of lines up. There's nothing out of place. Everything seems exactly how it ought to be. And I guess even for the cast and production crew and everything else in the panel, they said that the moment she stepped on set, it was like, oh yeah, there's the Doctor. Like, she embodies the character.
Yeah, so to recap, I didn't really like Toast and Cole that much. We love everything else. Chibnall must have a dark side, and we're not a big fan of the sonic screwdriver.
There you go.
That sums it up.
That's Cliff's Notes for our episode tonight.
And I think with that, we can wrap up for this episode. Until next time, you guys can leave us a review on iTunes. Head over to iTunes. We're actually easier to find on iTunes now, Adam. I don't know if you knew that, but I did.
I just realized that.
I did some finagling with some of our kind of how we list the show, and it seemed to have bumped us up in the visibility on iTunes. So if you search for Doctor Who now, we're like one of the first shows that pops up.
Heck yes, we are.
So we're over there on iTunes. If you haven't left us a review yet, and it's been a while since we've gotten one, so if any of you that listen to our show regularly haven't left us a review, now's the time. It'd be great to get some of those new reviews in there, because that'll help other people find our show. You can find us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook, Bad Wolf Radio. We have our group. It hasn't been very active lately, but I think with the season coming up, it'll kind of pick up. You can find us on Instagram. Once again, hasn't been very active, but we'll definitely be adding more stuff to that with the season coming up, at Bad Wolf Radio. And you can shoot us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm just going to make you say
later days.
Alonzi? Like, I don't know what's her catchphrase?
We can't. Brilliant.
Brilliant?
Brilliant. You know what? I am watching the teaser trailer, or watching the trailer.